Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time to get brutally honest.
It's easy to say let's jump on their bandwagon or Ottawa or Calgary, because with all the respect to those cities, there's no hatred towards those cities.
Right.
There is hatred that is universally accepted, and it's one city that gets it, and it's Toronto.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
All right, I have access to a tweet that is going to set Noodles off. This is a tweet for the ages.
Oh, yeah?
And I love it because it's coming from a guy by the name of Darren Hayes, who I'm not associated with whatsoever.
Is that your ghost Twitter account?
This is my Kevin Durant ghost Twitter account. This was his tweet. You want to hear this?
Sure.
Because right before we went to break, I said, Carey Price is going to return tonight from Montreal. And I said, why would you have Price return if you should be tanking at this point? You should be playing to lose if you're Montreal. Get the best draft pick you
possibly can. He said they are tanking and that's what they want
to
do?
He said, wrong, Hayes. If you're trying to tank, you need Price in net. He's been their worst goalie this year. You got to play Carey Price to lose.
Yeah.
That's courtesy of my dummy account.
Well, Darren there Hayes. Is one word in there, dummy, that makes sense. But
hey, let's
be
honest. He's got the background, the DNA as one of the best goaltenders in the world, but he needs to figure some stuff out.
Well, you can't figure out injury.
No, I get it, Jamie, but just with the times he was in, he's got to just get it back on track. That's all I'm trying to say.
I agree.
He's got to get healthy, and when he goes in healthy, and we talk about this on this show every time, and he's no exception. When you put the jersey on, you're 100%.
Right.
That's the way the big leagues is. You put it on, you're 100%.
Yeah, and he hasn't played well this year.
No. That's.
I agree.
Get it together. Get it going.
I wouldn't play him, though.
I continue to say that good players can have bad seasons. It happens.
They can.
All the time.
I would not play him, though. Like, I would be openly trying to tank. You're not going to catch, more than likely, Buffalo, Vancouver, Arizona.
Yeah, but if a guy's healthy, Brian, what are you going to say as a general manager? You're going to say, you know what? Like, I think Toronto did it a little bit where they're like, just, you're shut down.
Yeah,
well,
basically.
They shut down Pacioretty. They shut
basically,
down.
Basically, you're not playing anymore.
They're shutting down people, but probably
so what do you say?
Games.
Just like, look, if you're healthy, just don't worry about
well,
it.
Well, just, you don't pass them.
Like, how did you shut down Jared Cowan last year? Hip tightness. Remember, Babs came out with a straight
his
face.
His hips are kind of tight.
We got him in a trade. Get that tight hips.
Yeah, his glutes aren't shooting.
Like Tiger.
Well, I'm just saying that you control the concussion protocol as a team and as a medical staff, and I understand it's more delicate and sensitive because of who you're talking about. You're talking about the franchise player who you've committed a lot of money and a lot of term to, and you don't want to mess with that relationship. But You maybe reason with them. You say, listen, we're concerned about your health problems. We don't want you to rush back. We don't need you back. Why don't you shut it down? Get a bit of a longer off season in you. Start training a bit earlier, and let's hit the ground running come next September.
Right.
It seems like a reasonable pitch, and there's no reason for Montreal to win. There's no reason for that.
All.
They should lose every single night the rest of the way.
And just continue to call kids up and give them chances and give them experience and all of that. That's what I would do. But, I mean, also, if you're a player, you're going to play a few games. Like, they still got 10 games left. So, you can play them a couple. It's not like you
can, but you don't need to.
Yeah,
like, you really
right.
don't need to. Like, on a different issue, what's happening with Erik Karlsson, and that's an awful story.
Yeah, it's
and it's, if you're not familiar with it, he and his wife, they lost their son, and he's not with the team.
Yeah.
But I would think you go to Karlsson, and you're like, if you don't want to play again this year, don't play. Now, that's not injury-related, and even if you're in a playoff position, you go to him, and you say, you figure it out whichever way you want.
Yeah.
Exactly, but... You know, this is
very simple.
Kind of apples and oranges.
If there's any games that you feel you need to play this year, come and play them. If not,
don't play.
Goodbye.
Yeah, because the team, we don't need you to play right now. We know where
family.
We're at. Our team is done. We are finished. And when it comes to Price and him not playing, you might be able to kill two birds with one stone. Like, get that much longer of an offseason. You played a lot of hockey over the past number of years.
Right.
And, hey, we don't want to somehow sneak into the seventh pick instead of the fourth pick.
Yeah, I think you're right in the sense that there's nothing to play for there. But I think probably the player is like, hey, I'm getting paid a lot of money and I haven't had a great season. I want to at least get a couple games in, get my mind right heading into next season, into the offseason. I'm just guessing, but that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Which is something I can appreciate. But
like, Carey's been interviewed quite a few times where he's like, he's been asked the same question. And he's like, if I'm healthy, I want to play. Like, that's, and I don't think he's lying on that. But from an organizational standpoint, you're right. Like, Bergevin or Molson or whoever, even Julian could go to him and say, you know, we're going to give Lindgren some games down the stretch here and give him a peek. We want you to be 100% for next year. And
Price isn't going to leave in the offseason and think, uh-oh, they don't like me anymore.
No.
He's well aware of his standing.
He just has to get his game in order and work hard in the offseason to come in. And his biggest challenge is to not only play well, is to be healthy. Because that's the truth. I was looking at it last night. Corey Crawford missed his 44th game last night. Like, Chicago's done.
They don't want him to come back.
They don't want him.
Well, now they're done. They're mathematically eliminated for the first time in 10 years. Chicago is out.
But that's, you know, I was looking at you, Jonathan Quick the year before, 59 games. Like, it's such a goaltender league right now. And it's crazy. I'm not seeing average. Look at Scott Darling last night.
Oh!
Billy Peters,
I've got buddies in Carolina that call me regularly and say, what the hell is this guy doing?
I felt really bad. Like, I was watching that game and I was like,
they're Southern guys. They don't, like, not hockey experts, but they're like, this guy doesn't look like he knows how to play goalie. I'm like, what do you, I don't know.
Well,
you want to talk to Noodles? I don't know.
He got paid. Like, that's, they're lucky it's guaranteed contracts, because if that was the NFL, they would treat him like a punter. He would have been cut between the first and second period. Here's your guaranteed money, and everything else is not guaranteed. You got to go.
It's not going well there. But
hey, listen, that's what I took out of the Leaf game last night, is Freddie Anderson has got to get his game back together. He's got to get going. Like, last night, I'm willing to give him a pass. He's been out for a while. He's trying to find his form. And quite frankly, I can give him a pass between now and the end of the season. But starting game one, there's no more passes.
No, but I would also...
You better get going here.
I'll climb on that. They better clean up the defensive zone and clean up some things, because if you're just going to play the same way and expect a goalie to bail you out, these teams are too good. They'll pick you apart. And that's the one thing. Like, third period, you can talk about mental toughness, you can talk about anything, but when Tampa was like, okay, we're going to turn it up here and we're going to see if you get some pushback, and there wasn't there. Like, you need your goalie to make the big save at the right time, but you need veteran players. Like, Ron Hainsey's 36 years old.
Yeah, he was bad last night. Morgan Riley did not have a good night.
But you also need your forwards, like Patrick Marleau and Kadri, and even your young guys, like William Nylander. Like, defensively, he had a couple nice plays, and I thought defensively there were a few times where he was completely out to lunch. But it happens, and that's where I think right now the stress would be for Mike Babcock, because you're right. He's looking at Freddie Anderson, he's like, I just need this guy to be healthy and to play well. Then he's going to give us a chance to play, and then that settles this group down, and the group can go and use their skill up front.
Absolutely. Like, that's what they are. They're not going to be a shutdown team ever.
No.
The way they're constructed right now. They can score, and they need him to make
a
lot of stops. Is it going to improve over the next 2.5 weeks?
Can it?
I don't think it can. If we've gone this far, I don't think you can expect drastic changes.
But I think the first two periods was showed what they're capable of when they stick to it.
Dave Poulin joining us here, our TSN hockey analyst on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. What's a realistic defensive improvement for the Leafs over the next 2.5 weeks leading up to game one?
I'd say getting Zaitsev back.
Yeah?
Other than that, I don't see... From a system standpoint, it's just attention to detail is all it is, guys. They can do it for a certain amount of time, but they're not old enough and experienced enough. And just looking at that Tampa game last night, Tampa, when they scored that first goal and Stamkos celebrated like he'd never celebrated, like he'd never scored a goal before, that made the game more important to Tampa than it was to Toronto. And somehow, that's what a locker room can do. A locker room can decide that this game is more important to us than it is to you. And, you know, they've got some cagey veterans in that Tampa locker room, guys like Kunitz and even, you know, different guys that they've added, Girardi, McDonough, whatever, that have had pretty good runs with the Rangers. And they made it more important. And that's why they won the game. And from a systematic standpoint, you're not going to work on anything in the next 3 weeks that say, oh, we're drastically improved defensively.
Well, Pooley, if there's a Jerry's percentage, what kind of percentage would you put on them, like the percentage of them improving defensively going into the playoffs? Is it possible? Or you said they don't really pay attention to detail or they don't really hit, like, can that ever change, or that's what they are, and go ahead and try to win 5-4 every playoff game?
Well, you know what? They did it last year against Washington.
Yeah.
And, that was the case. They went in, and all of a sudden it was like, holy smokes, they were able to ramp it up just that one notch, and they were able to play better. And that was a great series, you know, and they had a very good chance to win that series. But it's not like you're going to go in and say, okay, we've got this big secret we haven't told you about. This is why we're going to be so much better defensively, because here's what we're going to do. You know, Zaitsev will settle things down for them. But then, you know, then it's probably Carrick that comes out, because you have to think that he's going to leave Pulock in that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then if you're playing, depending on who you're playing from a speed standpoint, Roman Pulock's a factor. He's a factor from a speed standpoint. Carrick can handle the speed better. But front of the net and penalty killing, he's going to want Pulock in there, particularly in the playoffs.
Well, that's why I think they set up better against Tampa. And I know people are freaking out because of what happened in the third. But I thought, again, they played really well the first two periods. And I think they're built similarly. The biggest difference being that Hedman is on Tampa and Toronto doesn't have that. But Toronto can score with every team in the league, including Tampa. And I think Anderson and Vasilevsky can cancel each other off. I think Toronto might have the edge in special teams, certainly in penalty killing.
And the first period and a half last night, Brian, they defended better too. They were tight on defensive coverage. They didn't give anything, and then it was just gone. Like, it was gone.
Yeah, but I think the Leafs can do to Tampa what Tampa did to them last night too. The Leafs could wake up in the third down 3-1 and be like,
absolutely,
actually, we're going to snipe three home here, and Tampa won't know what hit them. So I just think it's
but you got it to
sets
win
up better for
and
them.
And Pooley, you played on some real good teams. Don't you have to, like, you got to have a team that can 2-1 it.
Well, you absolutely do, but don't forget, we're talking about this team, and we're talking about how they're playing and everything. They don't have number 34 right now, and it's a credit we're talking about them even as positive light as we are.
Yeah.
Without Austin Matthews. You take the best player away from most teams, and they don't perform as well as the Leafs have performed. So you're hoping that when he comes back, he slots everybody a little differently. You know, guess what? He takes a little bit of offensive focus away from Victor Hedman, who's now worried about him when he's on the ice, instead of worried about Victor Hedman when he's on the ice. And, you know, you get that guy back in the lineup and get everything settled back in. You don't know exactly how things are going to shake out, but you have a pretty good idea. And, you know, and I think Andreas Johnsson may be a legitimate fourth-line player for them in the playoffs. Because he forechecks, he's got great speed. If you had he and Kapanen on the wings, you know, you've got, yeah, I don't know if that's good enough defensively, but you've got pretty good wheels and you can go and forecheck as a fourth line. And, you know, I think when you put Matthews in, he's such a game changer that it changes the other way the other team has to play too.
Well, there's no denying that, and it sounds like he'll be back tomorrow night. So it's a matter
of... Yeah, when we see that, Brian.
Yeah, I guess they've done this for about a week now.
Okay. Yeah, he's looking great. He's not wearing a red jersey in practice anymore. Gee, he's skating great. No, he's not playing tonight.
Well,
you know, until we see him go out there, we'll know for sure then.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I would start him in Nashville. I might wait until you get home. It's Detroit on Saturday night. That seems a lot more comfortable coming off a month-long injury.
I have done 3 games in Nashville this year, 2 with Winnipeg and 1 with Montreal. That would be a place to start, let me tell you, because the ramp-up speed in that place right now is sky high. That team is just, they are not only hitting on all cylinders, but at home, the pace they play at is so much fun to watch. Maybe that is the place to start him. You find out if he's ready or not.
Right. Throw him into the deep end right off the bat.
That's it.
Go swim in that.
Sure.
Yeah, you
for
might
sure.
be right. I mean, listen, if he's ready to play, yeah. Like, this is different than what we were talking about with Price a few minutes ago. Price is coming back, and he's not playing for anything. The Habs are done. There's no... I don't see a need for him to return. Matthews obviously is coming back because he's got to get ready for the playoffs. So, you know, maybe you do look at when he comes back, how he comes back, how selective you are with his minutes a little bit differently, because you have to believe Babcock and company, they have a plan here that they think is going to work best to make sure that he's prepared for game one.
They do, except when you're in a big game and it's a tight game and you're in Nashville and you got a chance to beat him and you look down and see 34 on the bench, you're putting him out there if you're Mike Babcock. You know, he's going to coach to win the next game, and that's what he's going to do. And maybe that's why you don't give yourself the temptation until you know he is 100%. And I'm a little bit different than you, Brian, on Carey Price. I think he should be playing. I don't think you can say to your fan base, yeah, he's 100% healthy, but we're going to sit him the last 10 games of the year. You know, and I know he obviously doesn't want to as a player. I feel differently about him going to the World Championships. I would have him playing for the Canadians. I would not have him going to the World Championships.
Well, a couple things on that. One, you don't have to tell the fans that he is 100%. He's not playing. You tell them that he's not. And,
you know, they've already leaked that out because he's backing up the other night. And if you're backing up, you're 100%.
Well, that's when they made the mistake. I wouldn't have had him backing up. I just would have never brought him back. And I honestly...
Yeah, but that conversation with the player, Brian, you're talking to the player.
Yeah.
And you're saying, look, I know you're 100%, but we're just going to shelf you here for the last 10 games. And Price is a really competitive guy, and there's no way he wants to stand for that. He wants to come back and play well. He's embarrassed about this year as much as anybody is. And he wasn't great when he played. And granted, playing in front of that defense over the course of the year, the first, you know, half of the year, they were just not very good. And the second half of the year, they were really young. And I don't know which one was better. I'd rather have the young. At least they had the young kids in there, Juleson and Mike Riley, and even Valiev played a couple of games, and Victor Mete. I'd rather have those guys in there than the group they started the year with, because they just weren't very good. And so you get a goalie who's overcompensating in every different direction. And, you know, and he wasn't very good, but how do you tell if a guy's good in front of that group? Holy smokes. They just weren't a good hockey team through the first part of the year.
Pooley, of the Canadian Tire Fires, which do you think could be a possible rebound season next year?
I could see Ottawa regaining, because their goaltending just hasn't been very good. And I could see them regaining, depending on what happens with the Carlson situation. I don't see it in Montreal, though. I really don't. They've got a couple of guys that missed a lot of time this year, and Carey Price and Shea Weber, but there's not a lot behind that. You know, and their first rounders between like 9,000 or 2009 and 2011 in that area, none of those guys are there. And then they've got Galchenyuk in 12, and then in 13 and 14, their first rounders were Michael McCarron and Nikita Sherbak. And so you've got one impact player out of 6 years of first rounders. And you just can't have that, because those should be the guys that are 23, 25, 27 years old who should be anchors for your team. And they went through, I believe it's a 3-year period of that wheelhouse in the draft, where out of 21 picks, Brendan Gallagher in the fifth round is their only player playing for the Montreal Canadiens. And you have to be getting a couple of guys out of every draft, if not three. And when you're getting one out of 15 players, they just don't have the depth coming. And they've got a couple of college kids that they're really hoping pan out. The kid out of Notre Dame, actually, that they'll have to sign. They could lose him, and that's Jake Evans. And they've got a kid named Ryan Poehling at St. Cloud State, and they're number one in the country. So you won't see these kids this year. But Poehling, I think, is a legitimate 2-3 centerman for them. And the other night, they had no one dressed who was really a centerman. Not one.
That's awful.
Not one. I mean, Michael McCarron was their fourth line centerman. You know, you had Drouin, who's not a centerman. You had Jacob Delarose, who's not a centerman. You're lined up. And Claude Julien's system really relies on the centerman. If you think of Boston when they were at their best, Bergeron and Krejci were involved in every breakout they had. Every single breakout, D-to-D to centerman, D-to-D to centerman. Well, try that with no centerman. And, you know, and Jonathan Drouin, to me, is not a centerman. He's just not. They're trying to cram that in there. And you know, he's a winger who can drive the play from the wing like Mitch Marner's doing right now, but he's not a centerman.
Are you like cooking sushi or something, Pooley?
Yeah, I got, can you smell it?
What really is good. Going
pots
on in your house?
Pots and pans and something's...
Yeah, pots and pans are going... She's laughing. She is making sushi. Sorry, I'll tell
Hibachi,
her
what is it
down.
Called? Where the guy's chopping up the egg?
He's at Japanese village right now.
I got to push back from the counter here. I'm going to lose my finger.
All right, brother.
Enjoy the cuisine, Pooley.
Okay,
thank you for
guys,
doing this, buddy.
Fancy cuisine. Have a good night.
All right. Here's Dave Pooley on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial for fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer. Visit valiantfinancial.ca. Those are cool spots to go to, the Japanese kitchens where they get everything going in the middle and the flames going.
The onion volcano.
Yes.
You had that?
I'm not an onion fan.
Neither do I. I don't eat onions, but I enjoy the volcano.
You guys, you don't eat onions, you don't eat mayo.
But I like a Japanese village and Hibachi Grill. They're good. There's a Benihana's too, right? The Benihana's in the American side, Japanese village. I think there is a Japanese village in Toronto.
There's a couple spots downtown.
I once, when I was playing for the Florida Panthers, went to a Japanese village at about 5:30 the night before a game. And I was with a gentleman who was not playing the next day. And he... Those Japanese beer, I think it's Sapporo.
Well, and you got the sakis coming out. You get a couple sakis in you.
Sake is like tractor gas, dude.
Yeah. It's moonshine. It's Japanese moonshine.
He had about
it. It makes vodka look like just water. I actually quite like it.
It was
I'm a fan of a sake.
I like a hot sake.
It's got to be hot. I think that's the only option. Like, I guess you could get a chilled sake, but you need that thing toasty.
I do like a Japanese village, but I only get the beef, chicken, and rice.
Yeah, I keep it pretty basic.
I know exactly what you say to the guy. Just the beef, just the chicken, and just the rice, and don't give me anything else.
And well done.
Your little onion
veggies,
volcano, you can throw that in the garbage.
I don't mind that, but
it was fun to watch.
I like the veggies in that. I just pass that on when they're trying to put it on the plate. Like, move it along there, sir.
I know.
It's all good, though.
But the thing about those kitchens is you're dining with other people you don't know. You're all sharing the same table.
Right.
Like if you go to a resort down in Mexico or something, and you know how they have like an Italian joint, a Japanese joint, you're sitting there, you're all just, your faces are so burnt. It's the end of the day. You try to dress up a little bit, but you're in flip-flops. I mean,
it is a nice night out. I'll enjoy that.
I'm with you on that, Noodles. PJ Carlissimo will join us in just over an hour. He'll help us tee up the game tonight. Cleveland taking on the Raptors, and the Raps are 1-7 in Cleveland over the past three seasons, playoffs included. So, statement game.
Yep, statement game for the Raps.
Statement game for Cleveland, too, like with playoff implications, because they can still drop all the way down to like the sixth seed. The Raptors are pretty solidified in the one seed, but...
I want it, like you say, you're 1-7 in Cleveland. Let them know that if you face each other in the playoffs, like, hey, we're a different team this year.
This is what's coming.
We're all
There's
business.
Still that mental block, though, man. You remember those years going into Philly with Big E when he was dialed in? We're not beating this guy. This guy's going to take over and start throwing people in the corner, ripping home goals, and it's like, what?
Yeah,
you And think no about answer. That.
I'm thinking to myself, what can I do?
Right.
What can I do to that guy?
And that's Lindros only playing 20 minutes a night. LeBron will play 45 tonight. Like, LeBron will be off the court for like 3 minutes.
Dude, I would be watching that guy thinking, or Mario in his prime going into Pitt? You're like, Mario?
Imagine rolling into Edmonton in like 84, 85.
One time Shanny ripped home a hat trick when we played for the Whalers and we somehow beat the Pens.
Yeah.
It was like we won the cup.
You'd have to. It was like back in the day when you had
those
super
teams. Dude, you're
just
waiting for it. You're watching. You're like, what's this? Like, you know what he does. You know what he can do. You're like, when are you going to do it? And they usually do it. I don't know.
They usually do.
The best of the best.
That's why the best of the best. Exactly.
Just mark my words. I feel like it's a different year for the Raps. I don't know why.
You're on record.
I want to be on record for that.
All right. Jerry's percentage is coming up. I don't know what's in store for Jerry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential opinions that could be thrown around, courtesy of Jerry. So
Dude,
we'll
I was
catch
just thinking back to the Big E in his prime.
This that was gross.
He was a monster.
He was the LeBron James of the NHL.
Yeah, with way meaner, more like he wanted to kill you and score, and it was like, okay,
Yeah, that would have been
with
terrifying.
An attitude too.
Yeah, he was Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, if he was in a bad mood,
yeah. He was gross.
Guys, just massive.
He was.
Yeah,
scary.
He still is.
Oh yeah, I heard him at the face-off one time. He's like, "Tell that other guy in the fourth line if he keeps trying to take my knee out, I'm going to kill him." And I heard that, and I'm like, I don't want to deal with this guy. Like, this was a monster.
You're like, okay, I'll send that message along.
No, I will tell him. And by the way, we're best friends.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got it. Jerry's percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I'm a cowboy, baby. With the top let down and the sunshine shining.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 the Queensway or jump online, bestpc.ca. Jerry called in last week from a Mexican resort. And he was...
It was a Southern Florida
resort. I think it was Mexico, because he was saying he was tipping pesos, he wasn't happy about his pina coladas. And
maybe he was down in Mexico.
Remember, he didn't have the twirly straw for one of his pina coladas, and he freaked out on some guy.
Yeah, he was.
So he wasn't in the best mood, even though he was on vacation. But we know the way this works. Jerry calls in a bunch of hot takes. We all place a percentage on the likelihood of them actually happening. Let's get after it this week.
Jerry's down in South Florida and he's had a few cocktails, but I'll take a few minutes out of my day to do Jerry's percentages. Not a fan of it, but I'll do it. The Raps will beat the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight.
He's got the Raptors rolling into Cleveland on the second half of a back-to-back in beating up on LeBron and the Cavs tonight.
35%. What's the record been the last...
1-7 in Cleveland over the past 3 years.
I'm playing the odds. I'm going to say 30%. 1-7 in Cleveland.
Now, that includes the playoffs, but still.
I don't care.
Yeah, the number's not flattering at all.
No, it's not. So my number's 30%.
I'm going to say 26%. But I'm going to say I think this could be the year that they beat them in the playoffs. So...
Keep that in mind for
Keep
down the
mind
road.
Keep in mind that when I'm low on this, back-to-back, and LeBron may go LeBron, but doesn't mean that they're out of the race.
No, LeBron's coming off a triple-double a couple of nights ago. They're sitting at home waiting for the Raptors. They're playing for something. They're trying to hold on to that third seed. They don't want to move all the way down to the sixth seed. The Raptors are playing for pride tonight. They're playing to send a message.
Yeah.
They know where they are. They know where they're going. They're five games up on Boston. Kind of a perfect storm for LeBron and the Cavs.
Right.
40%. I'm going to be a little bit higher than you
guys.
Give
them a little love. Yeah.
Because the Raptors during the regular season have been money. You know, this isn't about the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it seems like a perfect storm for Cleveland tonight. At home, Raps on a back-to-back.
Back-to-back tired, yeah.
And LeBron... He's energized. He's ready to go. But they've got some guys out. Like Rodney Hood's not going tonight. Larry Nance Jr.'s not going tonight. Tristan Thompson's still out. He's been out for a while. So they got some injury problems in Cleveland, too. But feels like it might be the Cavs' night.
All of the Big Four teams in the American League will make the playoffs. For you idiots that don't know who they are, the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, and Indians. These sons of bitches can play baseball.
They can, and Jerry's got all four of the big boys in the American League going to the playoffs. They all went there last year. He's got them all going back this year.
100%.
100%.
Yeah. They're that good.
The look on your face, you're like, he's like, you're nuts.
Dude, there's turnover in pro sports.
I don't care, man. I think they're that much better than everybody else.
I can't dispute that on paper.
Who's going to sniff around and say, you're out? Who's out and who's in? You tell me that. You give me one. The Jays maybe going to sneak in?
No, I don't see the Jays.
Hey, it's 100%.
The Twins, but there's still that second wild card. They could be the second wild card.
It's going to be a Cinderella team.
That's what I'm saying.
And a team that is constructed very well.
You guys have no idea how much my face hurts.
We didn't even get into...
Anyway, I'm 100%.
get 100% that Houston, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Indians all make it to the playoffs. I can't say 100%. I'm high on this because they're clearly the four best teams.
Right.
Like, they are powerhouse teams, and, like, the AL Central is weak anyway. It's loaded with teams that want to be bad, that are going to be bad. So I think the Indians are going to win 100 games this year.
I'm getting pretty close to a slam dunk. I think the Astros are going to repeat.
I don't know if I'm going that far. Because the Dodgers are going to be great. The Cubs, I think, are going to be even better than they were a year ago. The Nationals are going to be good. It's tough to repeat. Like, Houston is loaded. You look at their middle infield, the kids they have, the rotation.
All I can think about is how they played in the playoffs, and I'm like, you can't beat that, and, man. You get Verlander cooking on the mound.
A full year of Verlander, too. They got him at the deadline. I'll say 80%, though. 80% that the four of them get
you
back.
You just looked at me like I was high, and you said 80%.
Well, you said 100%,
I know,
dude.
But you looked at me like, I can't believe you're even saying that. I thought you were going to say 20%, but you go 80.
All right, you know what? I will go lower than that because of the percentages you know, turnover in sports and in baseball.
What are you going?
75%.
75%. I'm going 61% because I think one of them will caca the bed.
You think so?
Yes. You don't know who.
You don't know who.
But it could be injuries. Oh, it could be inconsistent play.
A rotation blows up or something like that. Yeah. That's sports,
blister,
man.
Blister on the hand.
That's right. Maybe the Jays get hot.
Exactly.
Because only two teams. Yeah, you never know.
Never know.
The Blackhawks will make the playoffs next season.
I don't think so. They don't look very good right now. They're not making anybody's panties drop.
Okay, wait a minute here. Jerry just said off the top, they're going to make it to the playoffs, and then immediately said, I don't think so.
That's Jerry's opinion.
Yeah, but
which one? His statement is, they're going to the playoffs, and he said, I don't think so.
But these aren't statements.
I think Jerry
got a little bit horny. He was fired up.
Let me hear just the first couple comments here from Jerry.
The Blackhawks will make the playoffs next season.
I don't think so. They don't look very good right now.
That sounds like a guy who read a script and then decided to ad-lib afterwards.
Well, he always kind of ad-libs. Is he not? is he not supposed
to? His ad-libbing didn't make sense.
That's my point.
One more time. I think it makes sense. Come on.
The Blackhawks will make the playoffs next season.
I don't think so. They don't look very good right now.
So which one is it? Does he think they're making it or not?
They said they make the playoffs.
They're making
next
the playoffs.
Season.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go 50%. I just really don't know. They're getting their goaltender back. But 10 years straight in the playoffs, sometimes that's your run.
Yeah.
But that's pretty damn good. You look at the Rangers, they had a pretty damn good run.
Yeah.
They didn't win.
No, you're right.
But they had that big stretch of time where they won hockey games, they're in the playoffs. And when it ends, sometimes it ends. 50%.
It's actually a pretty good number.
I'm going to go a bit higher than that. I think
I'm going to go a bit. Well, you go first.
I'll go first. Okay. First of all, Corey Crawford returning and giving you 65 starts next year is huge. It's not only him, though. Duncan Keith has been downright awful this
year. He's had a bad year.
Awful.
I was looking at it last night. I'll give you some context before you make
off,
your number.
Man. All right.
Patrick Kane has had, they took the bread man away and replaced him with Saad, back with Saad, who played with Taze. Saad's has 32 points.
Yeah, it hasn't
worked.
He's
had a bad year so far. I think he has more to give. Kane has 68 points, I think, so he's fine. And Taze has 50-plus points, too.
He'll trade the bread, man? Like, for real?
I think they overthought that.
They overthought that, and Saad was a better fit back with them, but it hasn't worked out this year. I'll let you go first. You know what? You want me to go?
Go ahead, Noodles.
68%. Mm-hmm. Not super high, but Crawford, better Keith, better Saad, and I like a couple of their young players.
They do have some good young
guys.
Really
good young player. Like, they've got a couple good young players.
DeBrincat's been good for them.
DeBrincat, like, they've got a couple guys that are all right. So, again, though, they're playing in a division that is quite heavy.
It's a tough division, but, you know, would I be shocked if Minnesota took a step back next year? Colorado's in right now. Like, I think Colorado just continues to replicate this? I don't know. I think
Colorado's
Chicago.
A one-line team, man. Yeah, I watched them play the other night.
Barlamo's playing pretty well, though. Like,
yes, but that one line is ridiculous.
I'll go probably somewhere in between. I'll go 60%. Like, I'm going to give that core the benefit of the doubt. Corey Crawford returning. I do think Quinville could factor in, though. Like, if he's out and you downgrade at coach, I don't know how that could factor into what happens.
That's a good point.
But maybe they need a fresh voice. Maybe they need a bit of a different approach, which could catapult them. But I get too much time for that core. Like, they've supplied us with too much entertainment over the years.
Yeah.
It's been a down year. It's been an awful year. They're out. Like, there's eight games left. They're mathematically out. Yeah. Like, they didn't just miss.
They're out.
They're out. They are done. But I think Chicago might have something left in them, at least next year anyway.
JVR signs with the Leafs this summer.
This son of a is scoring goals like Wayne Gretzky right now. Too bad they gave his money to Marlowe.
Interesting backhand shot of Patrick Marlowe there by Jerry.
It was not a shot. Marlowe's Jerry just season. Kind of, he was in a pinch today. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of time for Jerry because his secretary, they don't chat until the very last second.
Well, Jerry's in South Florida. What's the secretary supposed to do?
Couldn't get a hold of her. Sleeping. Having chit-chats with his boss and his buddy.
Jerry's drinking pina coladas in South Florida with a burnt face
and, Jerry rolled
and a green suit.
You know what? I got to hear it again because I don't even remember it. Give it to me again.
JVR signs with the Leafs this summer.
This son of a is scoring goals like Wayne Gretzky right now. Too bad they gave his money to Marlowe.
So he's got JVR signing back with the Maple Leafs.
0%. He's going to get 7x7 with the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, Jersey might be in on him. Home state.
Hometown guy.
All that.
Pay him. Need to put some people in the building. He ain't playing here.
I don't think he's coming back either. I can't
0%.
I'm not saying 0%. You know, I'm going to leave the
door open.
Because
you have no balls. You always say, oh, there's 15%.
Well, yeah, because, no, I'm more reasonable. I mean, you just spit it out, 0%. How can you say 0%?
Because how are they going to afford him? They got to pay all these kids, and then they're going to bring this guy back at $6-7 million? That's what his ticket's going to be, 6x6 or 7x7.
The only thing that would take me away from 0% is two words. Lou Lamoriello.
Mm-hmm.
This guy knows how to work things. Like, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, like, Jamie, guess what? If I'm his agent and Lou said to me, well, you've been here through some crappy times. Do you want to see the good times? I'd say, yeah, I do. But you're going to pay me because I got another team over here that's going to pay me. And this guy's got one last chance. He's ripping it up right now, and he's basically just, he's an ATM.
But they are,
you
got to
cash it in.
But I think they could sign him to a deal, but then move him 2 years in, or move him 1 year in.
Yeah, but you know what? If he doesn't rip home any goals next year, a team's going to be like, I don't want the other 5 years.
That's the thing. Like, this is classic case of a guy who's on fire in his contract year.
Yeah, our buddy Assface did it. He cashed in with the Leafs, and then they were like, God, we don't like your money right now.
It was a big price back then, like 5.25
right,
McCabe was
McCabe
making. He was a really good player.
Really good player.
And JVR's a really good player. Yeah. He scored, listen, this isn't like William Karlsson going from 7 goals or whatever to 40.
9 to 40.
JVR scores every single year. But he is on such a heater right now. Like, everyone's overreacting. As if every GM is just going to be like, here, we'll treat you like McDavid. Here's $13 million. That's not happening.
They don't care. His camp doesn't care. They want one person to overreact. One GM.
That's great, but I'm not convinced it's going to be out there the way people are yelling and screaming about it. Don't forget what else has to be factored in here. Like, he doesn't play that much 5-on-5. A lot of these goals recently, you know who's put it on a tee for him?
Marner.
It's Marner, and he's not going with him. Mitch Marner's not going to Jersey with him. Like, last night, he got that first one on a tee from Marner. That was a brilliant pass. And you still got to tuck it home, and he's still, like, the second goal was all him. That's pretty in front. Yeah. Great hands. He's smooth.
I maintain that JVR is a really good player, and I think the Leafs will miss him, and their left side, if they don't replace it, is going to look considerably weaker. That's just the truth.
Yeah, it will. And the numbers will say that, too, because he's going to end up with 35 goals.
And he's going to, but this is a guy that, where goals are at a premium, regardless of who put it on a tee or how it's hard to score in the league. And
he scores.
He scores consistently, too. It's not just like, this isn't a one-off. This isn't William Karlsson.
No.
This isn't Couturier in Philly going from 14 goals to 35. This is every year this guy does it. So
what number did you say for him coming back?
15%.
I'll go a little bit higher. 25%.
Zero.
One of Vladdy Jr. or Bo Bichette will make an appearance this season.
I'm low on this.
I think 65%. I think if they actually mail it in and they sell and it's over and it's ugly, you got to show the fans the new prizes sooner or later.
That's just, I do wonder about the marketing component that comes with this, the idea of keeping people in the seats. They're so obsessed with that. That's all they talk about. How many people are going to show up? The kind of money that they're going to make off this.
Right.
If they're on pace for 75 wins again and 13,000 people are showing up, you can get 25 grand in potentially if you bring the kids up. And I do wonder if that would factor in, but I don't think that would be smart business.
I wonder how the fan base is going to react if it goes south. It's like, you guys promised us all this and you finally got good. You made the playoffs that's what we get 2 years.
That's probably what you're going to get. You know, the Yankees and Red Sox have passed them. They had two really good runs.
I know.
But I'm
just nice for a couple of the years to think they don't dominate us anymore. We're in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just gone.
I think it's going to be high because I think they're going to sell hope. And if they end up having to move the bringer of the rain,
which I think they will if they're on pace for 70-75 wins again.
You need a distraction. You need, hey, come and look at this shiny new toy while we move something else out.
I hear you, but there's a CBA component to this. Do you want to kick their contracts into gear if you bring them up? That's why I'm pretty low on this. I think Shapiro and Atkins understand that if you start his service years ahead of time, it's going to maybe cost you down the road. Now, they might not be here down the road, so they may not care as much. 10%.
I'm 71%. Maybe just because I just feel
I'd like to see them up if they're brutal.
Right.
Like, I'd like to see them play. You know, that's kind of really what I'm looking forward to. All right, we may have one more Jerry's that we'll get into in the next hour.
Just fire it up right now.
No, we got to get rolling here. But we've got this is one we haven't talked about. It pertains to something that happened in the Winnipeg game last night. A little bit, anyway.
Blocking shots. All right, let's do it.
A little bit.
Next in the hour.
Yeah, we'll get into it in the 6 p.m. hour. PJ Carlissimo will join us. It's Cavs Raps tonight in Cleveland. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050.
I don't think so. They don't look very good right now.
The Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. And on Friday, calling with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on the Jets March 31st down at the ACC. Theme this week, former Leafs who played for the original Winnipeg Jets. And today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Randy Carlisle.
Wow.
Good one, Randy.
Good one, Randy.
Good one, Randy. Good one.
The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. Randy Carlisle.
Good one, Randy. Good one.
We should go through some of Phil's comments, like his drops. They are the best comments.
Oh, my God.
We haven't done that in a while.
Such an idiot, this guy, every time.
This guy's such an idiot here.
What about, it's not good?
Right? It's not good, eh?
That one's my favorite with Pierre Maguire.
And he's like, how's your breath?
Thanks, eh? It's not good, eh?
And then at the end of it, he's like, I can't believe you asked me that.
We got to go through that whole, if we have time, let's,
we'll comb over some Phil.
Play the bet, that interview.
Okay. Well, for whatever reason, we'll play Phil.
Yeah, Star Wars drop.
Yeah, we'll get into some Phil in the next hour. We'll tee up the Raptors game tonight. Look back on the Leaf game last night. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.
Buy tickets, you must.